Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with John Wagner down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we've got an interesting interview with our local fish biologist, Max Walter, and lastly, some crappie tips from Hayward Area Fishing Guide, Tim Duffy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Finally, fish in the Lund of your dreams from Hayward Power Sports. Built by fishermen for fishermen. Catch your limit in the 2019 Lund 1675 Adventure Sport for just $290 a month. This new Lund model comes fully loaded with a 90-horse Mercury 4-stroke, fish locator, trolling motor, travel cover, and more. Enjoy boating's best warranty with 3 years on bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage. Plus, it's transferable, adding to excellent resale value. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop in for their great lunch menu, and you can enjoy your lunch right out on their deck. Lynn's also has fresh cut-to-order steaks, as well as a great selection of brats and sausages for those great summer cookouts. Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, jerky, cheese curds, and much, much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and Sundays 10 to 3. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to freshwater anglers boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on an $18,000 Lumacraft boat powered by a 50-horse Mercury outboard sponsored by John's Motorsports of Hayward. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highways 27 and B in Hayward, open daily from 9:30 a.m. till 4 p.m. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and helping out today, we've got the manager of the store, John Wagner. Morning, John.
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Just fine. It's summer. It's warm. My arthritis likes this warm temperatures.
Oh, yeah. Boy, this morning when I got up, you couldn't beat it. It was cool outside, and the sun's coming up. What a day it would have been to be on the lake.
Yeah. Well, definitely summer's come into play. We're seeing bug hatches showing up on the lakes and a lot of stuff going around and little critters running around, little spotted fawns and all kinds of cool stuff. But down here at the shop, you've been getting a few reports coming in on the fishing, right?
Oh, we have. We have. You know, it seems like the panfish have been biting fairly well and the crappies. And I've been hearing some stuff, people fishing below the dams, you know, like Nelson Lake Dam. They've been doing good on the gills there. They've been catching some walleyes there.
But well, you know, that's an opportunity for people that are up here. Not everybody comes up here has a boat and wants to get out fishing below some of the dams. I mean, you've got the Hayward Dam, you got Moose Lake Dam, you like the Winter Dam, you got Nelson Lake Dam. And then there's a couple of public fishing piers, one on Lake Hayward, one out in Chippewa. Just a lot of opportunity to fish from shore.
Oh, yeah, and they're catching fish out of there. You know, over in the Minong area, there's some spots over there as well. You got the Minong flowage below that dam. They do really well.
You bet. You know, and guys that are out on the lakes, I've been hearing some reports that they're getting some walleye action right now. I know out on Moose, we've been getting walleyes pretty consistent, Chippewa flowage. You're hearing some on the big lakes down there too, aren't you?
Yeah, and round, their evening bite.
Round and Cooter A grindstone. And, you know, muskie action, that's been slow. I don't know if you've heard much reports on muskies here.
Not a lot. I've been seeing some stuff on Facebook with some of the local guides that look pretty impressive.
But yeah, you know, they're getting fish, but it's they're starting to get a few on topwater now, but it's been actually a little bit on the slow side as far as the fishing goes, you know, and the water temperatures are getting up there right now. I mean, we went for, oh man, it must seem like forever there that the water temperatures kind of held at 65, 68 degrees, and then they shot up, and now they're up into the high 70s. I've seen over 80, but high 70s, and we're starting to see a lot of activity in the lakes. Bug hatches, we got mayflies, you got helger mites out there, just a ton of stuff for these fish to eat. And they when they got stuff to eat, they get made some harder to catch sometimes.
Yeah, hard competition to beat, I guess.
We're talking about some of the things you guys ought to watch for in the summertime. You know, I don't care whether you're hunting or whether you're out there fishing, weather patterns and things like moon and stuff all affect the fishing and the hunting.
Yeah, it does. And to learn those is a good thing to know. Yeah.
One of the things is that everybody knows a sunrise and sunset is a time that, you know, you get a witching hour, you get an activity period in early in the morning or late in the evening. But you also have the moon factor. When the moon comes up, the moon sets, or the moon is straight overhead or straight underfoot, those things. But the moon rise and set seem to be, to me, the most critical ones, especially for the predator fish, whether it happens to be muskies or pike or bass, even walleyes. You can get apps on your phone now. Everybody carries a smartphone. Yeah. And you can get an app to put on your phone that tells you what time that the moon rises. So, yeah, and I'll tell you, if you, the real good people out there, fishing and hunting, they pay attention to all that stuff.
They do follow that. I've heard of guys doing that, and they're successful by doing that.
I know you big in the hunting thing, and you know, over the years you've probably seen where the people that are more successful at doing anything, whether it's hunting or fishing, seem to be the people that concentrate on trying to do everything the best they can and pay attention to all the little tiny details.
And by being out there a lot, you learn when the animals are moving as well.
You bet. Well, you know, we got to talk about a couple of things here in the shop. You guys are geared up for just about everything anybody needs as far as the fishing goes, and even now for hunting.
Yep, the hunting is, we're getting more and more in every day. It's not all here. I wish it was, because it's getting that time of year. There are guys coming in, wanting us to work on their bows and getting arrows and starting to get ready. That season is coming fast.
Well, yeah, we don't wait. It's usually the middle of September, which is 2 months away, but still, a lot of guys want to get out and they want to practice their archery and shooting, especially the traditional bow hunters.
Yep, they do. And it's a good time to practice. If you're not out fishing, yeah, it's something good to do. You know, the bear hunters, they're already starting to train their dogs.
You know, talk about archery practice. A lot of people think, well, you got a crossbow, you don't need to, but that's wrong too. You still need to practice whether you're shooting a gun or a crossbow or even a bow.
You want to make sure it's lined in. And the big thing about a crossbow is where I see a lot of people go wrong is they don't know how to use it properly. And then their strings will get jammed up. And there's reasons why that happened. You need to learn how to cock it properly, how to put your bolt in properly. Yeah, you need to practice with your crossbow. Just matter of how to use it so it don't malfunction on you.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem people have with crossbows is operator error.
Correct. They'll come in with broken limbs and why this happened? Well, they didn't put their bolt in the right way. You know, you have to have it in the right way. Otherwise, it'll dry fire.
You bet. Well, you know, we're going to have to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors. And come back, I've got an interesting interview with our local fisheries manager for the DNR, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports features Tracker, America's number one selling aluminum fishing boats. Get ready to catch fish in a 2019 Tracker Super Guide V16 side console with a 40-horse Mercury 4-stroke, Lowrance Hook 2 color fish finder, and a Minn Kota power drive trolling motor. All for just $16,195 or as little as $215 a month. Plus, you get the Tracker Promise, the best factory warranty in the business, and Tracker's no-hassle, no-haggle value pricing coast-to-coast. See Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides. Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping out today, we've got John Wagner down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And John, you know, we've always got people in the DNR, and you hear people for years, it was always things about the negative about DNR, but now we're starting to see a lot of positive reaction, interaction between the DNR and the people out there. I mean, they're doing a lot of things.
Well, that's what it should be like. We all work together to make a better fishery, let's say.
Well, that's what I've been telling them for 40 years. But, you know, finally we're starting to see a lot of that going. And we got all the clubs in the area here. We've got the walleye clubs and the muskie. And we've got, rod and gun club. Everybody out there. And then you got all these lake associations. And now they actually are starting to work with the DNR somewhat as far as input. And the DNR wants to hear from everybody and with meetings. And I'm going to have a little bit more coming up on that here in another show. But when it comes to all this putting together, we've got a local fish manager here. We've had Max Walter in here for quite a few years now, and Max has been a tremendous asset to the Hayward area. Anyway, let's hear what he had to say about their spring surveys and all the things that they found out on several lakes this spring. Well, Max, I know we're into the summer now, but you were out there all spring, a lot of research. You're always finding interesting stuff. This year, what's different?
Yeah, we are always finding interesting stuff, and we're pretty much out there, you know, the day the ice starts going out on lakes. A couple of the lakes we were on, the ice wasn't even fully off yet, and we were kind of dodging around ice chunks to get our nets in. We started on Ashagon Lake. That's been an interesting one. You know, about 7-8 years ago, had not many pike, and they were really big. We were seeing 40-inch pike there. Pike have been reproducing a lot, so now there's more of them, and they're smaller. Saw some walleye. Spring Lake was another stop we made. Tremendous just numbers of fish of all species, crappies, perch, pike, bass, whatever. It was, our survey was just loaded with fish. Size was good for some species, average for others, maybe a little less than average.
You know, you mentioned Spring Lake there. Spring Lake, is it incredible that that lake, with the amount of pressure it gets, especially ice fishing, can keep maintaining that kind of fishery?
Yeah, it is. It really is. You know, we saw a nice sized pike, and I know people target them out there in the winter. Obviously, a lot of people are going after panfish, and that's one of the lakes we put the experimental limits on, hoping it would improve panfish size. We'll be analyzing all that data from all the experimental lakes, but just a really impressive fishery from the numbers of fish that it kicks out.
You know, you mentioned Ashagon, too. Ashagon, it's always been a trout lake. It's got pike in it. The pike, they should get big with all that good food now.
Yeah, well, you know, the trout were stocked for the most part. And once the pike got in there, we started seeing less success with the stocked trout. So we've actually discontinued that. I would love to be able to continue doing trout there, but it just wasn't looking like a good investment. So now the pike have to go find their own food. But we got pike, we got walleye out there. Really interesting lake. Water was extremely high, which I know is the case on a lot of our lakes without outlets. Those are what we'd call seepage lakes.
Yeah.
Really high water up into the trees.
And that's a cold water environment, which is actually better for pike, right?
Yeah, sure. That's a two-story lake. You know, it's got that really deep cold water, so it should be able to grow some big pike. And we did see some nice ones, but it wasn't like it has been in the past when that density was a little lower, so.
How about other lakes up here? What did you find there?
We were on the chip of flowage. Some years on the chip, we kind of target all species. This year, we were pretty focused on walleye and pike. We didn't do much for muskie and crappie netting. Walleye numbers look great. Size look pretty good. We continue to see, you know, small increases in the percentage of walleye over 15 inches, which is that minimum size limit there. And that's something that we expected to happen as some of our bigger year classes got older. Still concerns that if walleye abundance continues to increase, that the growth rate might slow down. So we're going to keep a close eye on that. And that'll tell us a lot about, you know, the future of regulations out there. Then we were on Round Lake. Walleye looked great there. Most walleye we've had on Round Lake in quite a while. Lots of legal size fish. We're hoping to get into the muskies. And you know how Round Lake is and how clear it is. We could see them. We could see them cruising around in the areas where they were trying to spawn, and we were setting nets there, and we did okay, but you know, we didn't get the great muskie survey we were hoping for. I don't know if they get a little net shy in that clear water or what.
I don't know, but that lake is one of the up-and-coming lakes. I mean, when they quit stocking, and that was a mistake, I mean, quit stocking it, and because it lake, for years, every
8-10 years that produced a near 50-pound fish. It's just a good lake to grow big muskies.
Oh, yeah. Incredible forage base there between the big suckers. You have Ciscos there that are 15, 16, 17 inches long. I mean, that's candy for muskies. So, we're gonna keep going with that one as a muskie lake and expect that it'll turn out some nice fish like some of our other big clear lakes that have that kind of forage base.
You know, one thing in that lake, too, you know, when I started fishing that lake, there was virtually, it was the rusty crayfish in there, virtually almost no weeds. And now there's weeds coming back. There's what some people say undesirable weeds. You got the milfoil, but weeds are weeds. And you got actually better habitat out there for fish now than there was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, you get that up and down flux. You know, the crayfish come on real strong and the smallmouth knock the heck out of them, and then as the crayfish go down, the weeds come back and some of the panfish species might benefit. We saw a lot of crappies. Bluegill size seems to be getting a little better. That's a lake that grows really nice pike.
You bet it does.
Yeah, the phrase I use there is the pike behave themselves. You know, they don't reproduce so much that they become too abundant and become hammer handles. They stay at kind of a lower density. They get big. We see a lot of like mid to upper 20s pike, 30-inch pike, potential for 40s out there, so... Everything in Realm Lake, you know, has really good top-end size potential. Muskies, crappies, smallmouth, everything. So,
cool. You know, and I don't know this. I think it's losing its Cisco, where a lot of lakes are losing our Cisco. So it must be a lot of suckers and stuff in there.
Yes, and there's still a lot of suckers. But, yeah, you're right. That Cisco thing, that's going to continue to be a problem. The last time we did a Cisco survey on Realm Lake, we did still find them. So we know they're still in there. But it is not a high density of Ciscos. And, you know, there's not a lot that's going to make us believe that they're going to have a big comeback. So something we have to look at in the future.
You know, I heard like guys are telling me they don't think the lake is as good for smallmouth as it was just, 20 years ago or so.
Yeah, I've heard that too. You know, we put more restrictive smallmouth regulations out there a number of years ago. So we're hoping that we'll see a long-term benefit of that and protecting those fish. We did see a little higher abundance of smallmouth this year. The average size wasn't quite as big as what we've seen in the past, but still, you know, world class. When your average size is like 16, 17 inches, that's not bad at all. But yeah, that's one we want to keep an eye on because that's a premier fishery, really a draw for people to the area, and something locals, of course, really enjoy too.
You think it's a coincidence that, you know, 20 years ago or thereabouts, that your best big trophy smallmouth lakes were the Pike Chain up by Iron River, you had Middle Eau Claire, and you had Round Lake, and the fact that they were, you know, they were actually trying to get rid of the rusty crayfish, there were so many.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and that's as everybody knows, I mean, that's like the main food for smallmouth, is they're going to be eating crayfish. So when those crayfish are booming, like right after they get into a lake, yeah, absolutely. Now, I grew up down in Chippewa County, and yeah. Long Lake in Chippewa County was another example where those crayfish got in there, they mowed all the weeds down, and then the smallmouth just went nuts. And it's fun, you know, it's not really a sustainable management strategy. We're not going to be promoting rusty crayfish on these lakes just to get smallmouth, but it is an interesting dynamic to watch.
You know, I just did a radio thing with Pete Manage. We're talking about weeds and stuff, and they, you know, we're not going to go out and plant milfoil lake, but actual fact is that fish do like it, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
all this
there's
is
some things that we don't like, fish like.
Yeah. Yep. Some things that are really ugly and noxious, the fish are just fine with. So it's trying to balance all those uses on the lake. That's a challenge, right?
Yeah. And then we do still have to keep mindful of things exotic, whether it's rusty crayfish or zebra mussels or any of that stuff. Make sure we don't transport it.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And you never know, you know, how it's going to impact the lake. So yeah. People are thinking, oh yeah, maybe I'd like to have that milfoil in my lake. Don't do that.
Like pike. I mean, pike. Did, you know, I think in Lost Land and Teal, they maybe did benefit. The muskies grew big on them, but in other lakes, they're not good, right?
Yeah, well, that's a good transition to some of the other lakes we surveyed that have gotten pike somewhat recently, like the Tiger Cat Chain and Mud Callahan. I spent a lot of time looking at the Tiger Cat Chain data, historical data over the last winter, and you know, we first started seeing pike right around the year 2000. We saw them in DNR surveys. We had a creel survey shortly after that. A few anglers catching them. Now pike are everywhere.
Yeah.
And for the first time this year in our surveys, we caught more pike than muskies. So we're starting to see that balance flip a little bit. That's obviously going to change the dynamics of that fishery. You've got a new predator in there that's going to become more abundant. The habitat and the tiger cat is really well suited for pike. We will never be able to eradicate them. That is just not a reasonable goal. So what we're trying to do in places like the Tiger Cat is follow the same playbook for LCO, Chippewa Flowage, Spider Lake, keep them at a low density so that they can get big. People don't mind catching pike if they're big, right? It's the snakes that not only are annoying to people at times, but also can have more impacts on the fishery. So, you know, we're encouraging people to keep lots of pike. Still have to follow the bag limits, unfortunately. We are looking at maybe we could change some of that in the future. That'd be great. But keep pike, especially small ones. Try and use anglers as a tool to keep those densities low so we can have quality pike populations if we're going to have them.
Well, that actually tool does work, too, because you've got that thing going on the Chippewa flowage this year, and we're sitting in July, and you're already about halfway to your goal, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't say that it works yet, but I can say that, you know, the folks out there that have been involved in what we call the Pike Improvement Project, which is an initiative to try and get anglers to harvest a lot of pike, they have been successful in getting that to happen, and I'm always impressed with, you know, the resort owners and bait shops out there and how persuasive they can be and how they can rally people to behind these projects. And so sitting at the end of June, we had like almost 6,000 pike harvested through that program, which is great. And small ones too. So what we're going to do is we're going to see, is that enough harvest to reduce the density, get better pike growth, maybe get better walleye growth, maybe get better muskie survival when we stock muskies this fall. So we're doing a big thing. And then we're going to kind of take a step back, look at it, and then figure out, you know, what's our long-term play here for pike in the Chippewa flowage and elsewhere.
You know, they seem to be expanded everywhere. The one lakes, and I mentioned them earlier, is Lost Land and Teal, because I can remember when they got in there were hammer handles everywhere. Mm-hmm. And now you can't hardly find very many of those hammer handles. You find one, it's a decent pike. But the muskies grew astonishingly fast there for a period of time.
Yeah, hopefully nobody's gotten the impression in this conversation that I think pike are bad or evil or not fun. I love pike. I think they're great. They're fun to catch. And they're great for people coming up to this area that are just excited to catch fish. So there's absolutely a place for them in our lakes and rivers. It's just trying to manage them effectively so that they're not getting in the way of the other stuff that we like. And the Teal Lost Land example is a really good one. I think the thing that saves us there is that little bit darker water. And I think that tips the competitive balance a little more towards muskies and kind of keeps the pike from going too crazy like they might in a clear water lake. Moose Lake's another interesting example, right? There's pike upstream from Moose Lake. There's pike passing through Moose Lake. They don't really get much of a foothold in Moose.
There's some in Moose, but
there's
not
some.
Many.
Yeah, and that's real dark water.
Yeah.
You know, other examples, too, of that. So that's kind of where we're at with the pike muskie thing. If it's dark water, the muskies are probably going to continue to do pretty well in these clear water lakes like Tiger Cat, LCO, even the west side of the Chip. That's where you start to see pike out competing the muskies a little bit.
And one thing I'll say about pike too is that everybody, you see a lot of people, it's walleye, walleye, walleye when it comes to looking for fish to eat. The pike is just as good as a walleye. The small pike are just as good as walleye fillets.
You know, you're right. I agree. That's primarily what my family eats is bluegill and pike. And I think one of the long-term outcomes of this project on the Chippewa flowage, where we're encouraging anglers to keep pike, is they're going to find out, hey, these are pretty good.
Right.
And even the small ones, you can get a fair amount of meat. So maybe we're creating, you know, long-term pike harvesters, and that's going to help, you know, beyond just this year.
And getting the bones out is a lot easier than what people think.
Not that bad. You know, I think people are getting more turned on to pickled fish. So, you know, it's a resource that's out there for the taking. I mean, you think about some of our lakes and how many snaky pike you can catch.
Right.
People that are willing to take advantage of that, the world is their oyster.
Yeah, you bet. Max, it's been interesting talking to you here. Interesting information this year.
Yeah, always happy to let people know what we're seeing. Thanks for having me.
Well, as interesting as usual, anytime Max on here, sometimes it's hard to get him because he's out there chasing fish around on the lake. If he's not out there doing DNR stuff, he's out fishing himself. But anyway, we need to take another break and hear from more of our friend sponsors. We come back. I've got another little short interesting interview about catching crappies on lures with Mr. Tim Duffy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783. Carlson Motorsports is the Hayward area's newest auto dealership. They'll be opening on August 1st with a selection of used vehicles, and they also have aluminum cargo trailers from Trophy, as well as the Lake Lounger combination pontoon dock system. Stop in and see Joe at Carlson Motorsports, located just north of the intersection of Highway 63 and 77 in Hayward.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host today is John Wagner down here at Hayward Bait. And John, you know, for when it comes to panfish is probably the number one lure out or fish out there that people go after in the summertime. And it's almost always they got to fish with minnows, they got to fish with worms, live bait.
But yeah, they're fun to catch, real fun. Yeah. And I love how they taste.
But you'd be surprised how aggressive they get on lures. There's times when you can actually catch more panfish, crappies, even bluegills on lures. And a chance to talk to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy about that. Let's hear what he had to say on that, and we'll come back with a wrap-up on the show. Tim, you know, when it comes to crappie fishing, most people, they fish with bobbers and minnows, and some of us have been fishing with things like plastics and gulp, but another way is things like little tiny jigging wraps and jigging spoons. Sometimes they'll hit that where they won't hit anything else, it seems like.
Definitely. Me and you found that out on some of the area lakes we were fishing, the Clowage and a number of other lakes, and that jigging spoon has outdone everything out there. And I know before that I was using like that swim jig, little swim jigs was hitting the crappies good. But, you know, not even little ones. I've been kind of experimenting going with the bigger spoons also. And it just seems like they pound those things. And we're finding a lot of the crappies are down on the bottom. And there's some bug hatches and stuff going on. And they just, I don't know what the reason is, but they really slam that thing.
Well, sometimes it's too. Sometimes you get real aggressive with it, snap it up and let it flutter down. But sometimes you want to leave it almost hang there and just twitch it a little bit. But they do hit it harder.
Oh, definitely. And I know for a while that you were putting gulp on yours. I'm just using the plain jigging spoon. And it seems, I mean, I remember as a little kid buying, you know, I didn't have a lot of money to buy lures, so I'd buy like little daredevils. And we could always catch, you know, rock bass and bluegills and things like perch on things like that. But for whatever reason, that jigging spoon is outdoing everything, even the jig with the gulp minnow on it. You tip yours, but like I say, just plain even. You like to have the little paws. I just kind of move mine up and down, and either when it hits the bottom, they're on there, or when you lift it up and stop, they're on there. But they hit it hard.
Yeah, you know, Tim, you want to give out some information for a guide, if somebody's looking for a fishing guide?
Sure, they call me at 715-634-5100.
Well, you know, it is interesting when you're out there aggressive. Most fish will aggressively attack something as far as a responsive strike. I mean, they'll literally go after a bait that's moving quick because it's a matter of better grab it now before it gets away. So that all works. Anyway, John, I know you guys have got everything down here. And like I said earlier in the show, anybody that needs more information or anything, they stop by the show or stop by here at the store.
Yep, that's what we're here to help out. If one of us doesn't know the answer, there will be somebody usually here that does have the answer.
You bet. Anyway, we're about out of time here. I want to remind folks that if you miss a show, you can always get that show on our website at WNOradio.net. From there, you can link through to our podcast site, to the YouTube site, or to a Spotify. You can find it on your phone on Spotify. We're out of time for this week. I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
Me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.